Lord God, take my words this morning and speak through them. Take our hearts this morning and speak to them. Holy Spirit, we thank you for your presence in our midst, and we invite you to bring conviction to our hearts through the living word, that you will initiate healing and transformation in our lives. And we pray this all for the glory of your great name, Lord Jesus. Amen. Now, have you noticed, if you live in Western Pennsylvania, how sunny it's been for the past few weeks? I've heard it said on the news that this is the driest stretch of days that they've had in 20 years. I don't know if that's true or not, because we were gone for 16 years. We've only been back a year. But it has been dry. There have been a few times, even this past week, where they forecasted rain. And then there was thunder and lightning even, but no rain came. It's reminded me of winters in Pittsburgh, where they forecast lots of snow, and everybody rushes to Giant Eagle and buys toilet paper and bread, and then we get very little snow. It's kind of felt that way. Now, you may be wondering, why is Bill talking about the weather? Is it because he's hot? Maybe. Maybe it's because the weather's been very different here than was my experience where I lived when we lived in Florida for 16 years. The winter, this past winter, was predicted by all that we talked to. It's going to be mild. Winters in Pittsburgh have been mild. Was this past winter mild? No. And in our old drafty house, it was cold. The summer was predicted to be milder than our Florida summers. It hasn't felt that way. And in an old house where we're working and painting and we don't have air conditioning, I was about as sweaty as I am now every day. But that's not why I'm talking about the weather. The truth is, we're talking about the weather because Jesus Christ was talking about the weather in our gospel reading this morning. And he used the weather to make a point. And if you want to follow along, you can use your service leaflet. We're looking at the second half of our reading from Luke. Jesus here is teaching his disciples along with a great multitude. The multitude's gathered around him, and here he talks about the weather. Verse 54, Jesus also said to the crowds, "When you see a cloud rising in the west, you say at once, 'A shower is coming,' and so it happens. And when you see the south wind blowing, you say, 'There will be scorching heat,' and it happens." Jesus mentions how well they're aware of what's coming in the physical realm by their observations, by what you can see, and you, by what you can see, Jesus says, you understand what's coming. Now, I'd like to say, by this humidity, it feels like it might rain. But now I see the sun's out. Sometimes we can think we know what's coming and we get it wrong. But Jesus is commending the people here. You can see these things and you can know what's coming. And then Jesus turns and he calls them hypocrites because their lack of awareness regarding the spiritual realm. You can be aware of the earthly realm, but for some reason, you're not aware of the spiritual realm. Look at verse 56. Jesus says, "You hypocrites, you know how to interpret the appearance of earth and sky, but why do you not know how to interpret the present time?" Now, I think it's easy for us to too quickly agree with Jesus that the Jewish multitudes and his Jewish disciples should have recognized what was happening in the spiritual realm. Recognizing in John the Baptist's arrival that a new thing was happening, that the prophecies of old were being fulfilled. Recognizing in Jesus' ascent to prominence and Jesus' teaching that prophecies were being fulfilled, that the Messiah was in their midst. Now, we have the entirety of Scripture to read and to examine. we see much more clearly the big picture than they were able to see, because we can see the beginning and then the end, at least the end through the book of Revelation that predicted end times. We can connect the dots. Remember, Jesus' disciples didn't yet understand who he fully was as Messiah. They didn't quite get it yet. Now, another factor that made it difficult for the people to understand and be aware of what was happening in the spiritual realm was that their religious leaders around them were not aware at all. The religious leaders should have been the ones to recognize prophecy is being fulfilled, but they were intimidated by Jesus. They were jealous of Jesus. They didn't understand. And that led them to be closed-minded, antagonistic, to work against he who was the Messiah, the Son of God. Think about it. If some of the Jewish religious leaders had been open to what God was doing and been willing to talk about that with the people, to accept Jesus' identity and to proclaim his authority as the Son of God, how much more would the people then have gathered around Jesus and been able to accept who he was? But they weren't, and so the people weren't. The influence of the leaders, in essence, helped lead the people to their rejection of Jesus. Now, not all rejected him. Many came to faith and believe in him. But so many rejected Jesus, they couldn't see what was happening. Now, this is nothing new. If you look in the past, in the biblical past, our reading from Jeremiah talked about the prophets that were prophesying lies. They were saying what they thought was happening, and it wasn't the truth of what was happening. Today, there's much of the same. So many what I will call Christian teachers and leaders and influencers proclaiming partial truth or half-truth. Well, let's call them what they are. They're lies. They aren't the full truth. Lies that lead many faithful away from the truth. Lies about scriptural truth, what scriptures say, who God is, who Jesus is. Lies about prosperity or promises of health and wealth that we in fact see Jesus cautioning his people. You will be persecuted. You will suffer. He didn't promise those things. Lies about human sexuality. Lies affirming as not sin things that God called sin. But then also lies about the magnitude of some sins against others, where in fact all sins are sin. Covetousness is right beside sexual immorality and murder. The sins are sin, and we need to respond to them in the same way, not place more shame on some people than on others. For none of us is worthy. All of us have fallen short of the glory of God. Jesus calls all of them that are listening hypocrites. Those in his time misleading the people. Jesus speaks into our time. His words are timeless. He was and is to come. Jesus, the living word. So Jesus calls those in our time misleading people hypocrites. He calls those of us that aren't paying attention by our lives hypocrites. Jesus says, "Listen, y'all, you're hypocrites." Coining a phrase from the South where I lived for a few years. He says, you're able to predict the weather by what you observe in the earth. But spiritually, you are not paying attention. You're ignoring all of the signs that should be plain to see. You claim to be spiritual, yet you're blind to what God is doing. Now, returning to our gospel narrative, Jesus asks them, do you not know how to predict the present, how to interpret the present time? Well, in that question, I also hear Jesus asking them, Will you not open your eyes to what God is doing right here and right now? You don't see it, but open your eyes and see what God is doing. Again, remember, the disciples didn't fully comprehend what God was doing in Jesus Christ. Jesus had told them twice that he would die, that he would suffer and die and be resurrected, and yet they did not understand. So Jesus calls out to all at this point in his ministry, open your eyes, open your minds, look and see what God is doing. See who I am, but by what God is doing through me, is what Jesus is saying. Well, I hear Jesus calling to you and to me as well this morning. Open your eyes. Open your minds. Look and see what God has done. We have his living word. Look and see what God has done. Look and see who Jesus Christ is as the Messiah. Jesus says, look and see what I have accomplished, and look where you stand in the story. Jesus tells his disciples that he will soon come again. The New Testament proclaims that the end times are upon us, and so they are. You and I stand in those same end times, and Jesus said, be ready, live ready, I am coming soon. So that's how we are called to live. You and I have just as much influence to those around us as the religious leaders did to those around them. The world is watching. So don't be misled. People are watching, and those outside of the kingdom are desperate for hope. They're desperate for salvation. They're learning, or they already know, that the world is full of empty promises. Only Jesus is the way, the truth, and the life, and the only way to the Father. Jesus calls you, remember and know where you stand in the story. If you're living a life no different from the world, how is the world expected to see in you the light of Christ or the hope of eternity? People want to see. They need to see. They need to experience God's people living differently, living in a way that reveals that Jesus is Messiah, that he's your Lord, that he's your master, and that God's kingdom is here in their midst. The people and the world around us will not see anything if we are no different. God invites, he calls you to be lights in the darkness, to live your lives his way, loving God first with all that we are, and loving our neighbors as ourselves, caring for the widow and the orphan, seeking God's kingdom and pursuing God's priorities, seeking out relationships. And this is, I believe, how we can truly be different and engage with the world, where we seek out relationships, inviting friends to coffee, not so that we can talk, but listen. Sit with someone and listen to their story. Listen as they lament whatever they're experiencing, and then allow the Holy Spirit to give you words of hope for them. You don't have to worry about what you'll say. The Holy Spirit promises to give you the words. But as we reach out to others, as we listen, God will give us opportunity to share the good news of Jesus Christ. Everything spiritually points to the fact that you now are living in the end times. It's easy to say that because Jesus said that. Time is short, and you as God's people, you who live by faith, are called to be ready, to be attentive, to be paying attention. Today, the Lord Jesus calls to you and to me. Open your eyes and your heart to what he is doing in your life and in the lives of those around you. He invites you to let go of the things that will cloud and darken the light that's within you. He invites you to let go, to confess sin, to repent and return to Him so that you can shine brightly in the world, so that the world will see Jesus is Lord. In the name of the Father, the Son, and the Holy Spirit. Amen.